If you could pull up John 10:14, Sam, if you could put that up. That's 13 and 14. Okay, Jesus says this. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. That's good. Just leave it on that verse, on 14. He is, how many of you know President Obama? Former President Obama. How many of you would recognize him? So there's a difference between recognizing something or someone and knowing someone. When I first came to Christ many moons ago, one of the terms they said, does he know the Lord? And it struck me as funny, like, does he know the Lord? And it can be a cliche, but the issue of our faith was knowledge of him. It wasn't a polity of liturgy or, not that liturgy is bad. God can be glorified through liturgy and certainly is, but the idea was to know him. Now, the question I have for you today, does God know you? Have you given him that place that he absolutely knows you? And if better than that, I got a better question. Who knows you best in the world? Who really knows you? How many have ever gotten into conflicts and you don't really know me? You don't know what I'm coming from. You don't know me. You think you know me. You don't know me. How many of you, who really knows you? I mean, really knows you down to the base of your soul. We're kind of chintzy with letting people know. That can even be a problem in marriage. It can be a problem because we're afraid to. First of all, we wonder what's in there sometimes. I don't even think we're capable of revealing who we are by ourselves. And so what God does is he orders circumstances that press us through certain things that reveals who we are. And in the midst of the crisis and challenge, it reveals who he is. And now I know him better. But knowing him is the difference. Like I was thinking, I want to read a second verse in 2 Corinthians 9:6 or 6:9. There we go. This is an interesting. Paul is giving a litany of what they were. They're dying yet alive, and through all this stuff, and he's talking about the saints, and he says, as unknown yet well known, talking about saints. And I started going through the scriptures and I started thinking about the names of people in the Bible. We don't know who they are. How many would like their gravestone to just be bare? You'd like to say in loving memory of such and such, and they give, you're putting content in there by, you're closing out something, say they live from here to here. This is their final resting place, and absent from the body is present with the Lord if they're believers. But there's something there. But in the scriptures, there are so many people that don't even have a name. Some of the most famous people in the scripture have no name. They didn't make their mark. They didn't find, they didn't write any books. They weren't famous. The Good Samaritan. His name was Joe Smith. I don't know if you knew that. The centurion, his name was Ralph Jones. The servant of the centurion that was sick had no name. He's just a servant. Rich young ruler had no name. Gideon's 300, only Gideon is named. Those 300 men were three of the toughest, strongest men that ever lived. They went up against a force 1,000 times stronger than them and won that battle through God's help. None of them are named. Just says that they lapped water like dogs. That's how it described them, because when they went to battle, They looked out and they scanned what they were facing. They didn't just dunk their head in. So the man born blind in the temple, no name. The Syrophoenician woman who comes to Jesus to heal the daughter, and Jesus says, I've come for the house of Israel. And he said, why, what do I have to do with you, woman? And she says, well, even the dogs get crumbs from the table. And she says, Jesus says, such faith have I not seen in all of Israel. They never give her name. The woman that had the issue of blood, that's how we refer to her. You know, the woman that had the hemorrhage, her name was Helen. No, we don't know what her name was. Why is it not important for that to be there? Because when it's all said and done, he knows me and I know him. And that's your fame. That's all we've got. At the end of the rainbow. I often say, what was the largest church in Chicago in 1950? Nobody can tell me. Thousands of people, but it's gone. It comes today, gone tomorrow. Things happen. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever. So you are known but unknown. I am not well known in India. I've been there a couple times. I'm not well known. Actually, I don't know if you know this. I'm not well known in California. Yay, verily I say to you, I am not well known in Mission Viejo. I don't even think I'm well known on my street. But I will tell you, I am well known with that woman, and I am well known with my children and my family in that sphere. I am not unknown. I am known yet unknown. There is a sphere that God gives you where you are well known. And in that sphere is a place of anointing and grace and identification and love and purpose. I often hear actors say they love to do plays because they get so much love from the audience. Because they're starving for love and affirmation, which I'm not knocking at. I'm just saying but nobody knows them. When they finish the play, they want to put on sunglasses and a hat and a little beard so no one will know them. As well known, yet unknown. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Many unknown saints who are only known to God. We don't even know. We really don't know. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised. Who are you? You know, and they're up at the head table. Who's that? Never heard of him. I'm telling you, they're not unknown to God. Think about it. He knows the hairs on our head when they fall to the ground. He tells us that a sparrow falls, and he knows that when it happens, and how much more precious are we? If he knows the hairs on my head, does he know that the rent is due and I don't have enough money? Does he know that I'm scared or worried about this health issue? Does he know I'm concerned about the future? I think he does. I know he does. How about precious in the sight of God is the death of his saints? When you pass from here, this is a very holy and precious thing to God, because you are holy and precious to him. We are alive, thank God. Anybody want to speed up the process? Get there quicker than you should? No, but he loves you now in the flesh as you are. But when your time comes, which none of us determine, he knows the days of our life before there was one of them, and you pass from death to life, absent from the body, present with the Lord, it is precious in the sight of Almighty God that you are going to be embraced. You're not just a throwaway piece because you're known to Him. You are known to Him. He says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He's never left the church from day one. He's still with us, going back to the beginning, all the way these past 2,000 years. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Now, he's the only one I think can really say that, that is absolutely 100% guaranteed to be totally verifiably true. Everyone else would want to believe that about themselves. And by God's grace, there are people that never leave or forsake. But I guarantee you that He will never leave you, and He'll never forsake you because He knows you. He says in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you that you may have peace. In this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He's offering us peace in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of a crazy world that's all messed up, all kinds of points and counterpoints. He says, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Keep your chin up. Know that I know you. I'm with you. I made you for this generation. You have purpose where I placed you. Don't be a sad sack. Walk in the victory and the power of God. Thank you. Was that Matt? It's Bill. Bill went, amen. Where's Matt Watts? He's cleaning up. Okay. And then John 14:3 says, He goes away to prepare a place for us. In my Father's house there are many mansions. I don't get that, because how long... He's God. How much preparation does He need? He spoke the world into existence. Bingo! Let there be light, and there's light. Could it be that the place He's prepared for you is better than creation? And He's still working on it? Could it be? I mean, it could be. I don't know. What's He preparing? But He says, I go away to prepare a place for you. Where you're going, where I'm going, you can't come right now, but you will be with me because I know you and you know me and you abide in me and I abide in you. Now, while you're down here, I want you to bear fruit. Stop thinking about yourself so much. Bear fruit for the kingdom. I know you. I called you. I chose you. Even today, He intercedes. It's another mystery. On the cross, He said, it's finished. And yet He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, ever making intercession for us. He's praying for you because He knows you. I'm not going to try to guess what His prayer is for you. But God Himself, Jesus, intercedes. It's a mystery. But He is, even as we speak. How many anonymous saints, how little fanfare they had. There are literally thousands of people in the Scriptures, going back to the Old and New Testament, that just were here. They're mentioned in Scripture, but they're gone. So what really matters to them? Some of them probably were illiterate. Some of them were probably only Christians, quote unquote, for a year, if that. Some of them were fed to the lions. Some of them lived to be 100 years old and blessed their great-grandchildren on their deathbed. All different ways that God works. But today, He knows you. and you know him. So I ask you one more time, who knows you the best in this world? Because we're always complaining that people don't know the real me. The real me is really a great person. The real me is really funny and interesting and smart. You don't know me. We've got all this stuff, but who does know you? Who does know you? Your husband? Okay. I would say the wife knows the husband better than the husbands know the wives. But yeah. And that's, I think, why marriage is like Christ in the church, because there's an intimacy designed by God for marriage. He even says in the beginning that Adam knew Eve. It was like even the whole sexual connotation had a sense of knowledge of intimacy. And so God's called us to know him more. And that's the whole thing. But don't think it's not like you're climbing Mount Everest. I mean, he already knows you, and you know him. So when you are at work, when you are at school, when you are at home, when you're in a difficult place, just remember you're not alone. He knows you.